The second lesson this morning is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 3, beginning at verse 15, continuing to verse 22, the story of Jesus going to the Jordan to be baptized by John the Baptist. Listen again to God's word. As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. But Herod, the ruler, who had been rebuked by him because of Herodias, his brother's wife, and because of all the evil things that Herod had done, added to them all by shutting up John in prison. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In Christianity, we have this idea of a journey, that is often used as a metaphor to describe our growth and development in faith, the faith in the believer's life. And it's a journey that goes in fits and starts. It's a journey that's not always smooth or rarely smooth. It's a journey that doesn't always go in the same direction. The journey of faith, like any good journey, however, has a starting point. And often that starting point is not recognized until much later. We don't see it as a starting point right away. Today, we celebrate the sacrament of baptism, which is, for little Evelyn, the starting point on her lifetime journey of faith, even though she does not yet know it. That phrase I just used, lifetime journey, may have caught your ear. It might even sound a little overwhelming to you. For many people in 2019, a lifetime journey just doesn't sound very appealing. The journey of a lifetime perhaps has a kinder, gentler ring to it, but dedicating one's life to one journey seems overwhelming and perhaps even a little uninspiring. I heard statistics, for instance, on the radio last week that said the average American employed in 2019 will have 12 different careers over the course of their working life. And this wasn't just talking about mowing lawns and working in fast food as a teenager. This was after education or training or whatever, having 12 different careers over the course of your working life. That amazes me. It also scares me more than a little. I'm not sure how they count pastors in that. But I think that gone are the days of working the same job for 40 or 50 years like our parents or grandparents did, and then retiring with a pension. Why is it that we seem to struggle to stay committed to one thing, to one idea, one job, one person, so mightily these days? Our lives, our culture, our society, they're all full of change. We even seem to crave change in many ways, even if we might not be willing to admit it. Think about the long lines that wrap around the Apple Store every time a new iPhone is released. We're so afraid of missing something that might be better that we don't allow ourselves to be content to find joy in our present circumstances. Fred Craddock was one of the great preachers of the 20th century, and he tells this rather strange and amusing little story. I was visiting in the home of a former student of mine, and after a great dinner, the hosts excused themselves in order to put their children to bed. They left me alone in the living room, Craddock says, with the family pet, a large, friendly greyhound. With the family out of the room, I knelt down and started to pet the dog. I said, "Ah, you're a good doggy, a beautiful doggy. How are you doing, Mr. Greyhound?" Fred says, "I swear this part is true. The greyhound turned and looked up at me and said, 'I'm doing great. Thank you very much. Thanks for asking.'" The preacher was clearly taken aback. He'd heard of miracles, but never such a thing as a talking dog. So he asks, "Are you a talking dog?" The old dog barked and said, "Yes, I'm a talking dog. Rather amazing, don't you think?" The preacher said, "That is amazing. I understand that you used to be a racing greyhound." The dog said, "Yes, I was, but I had to quit." Fred says, "You quit? Why in the world did you quit? Did you quit because they didn't treat you well?" The dog said, "Oh, no, they treated me wonderfully all those years. They gave me the best care. They brushed me every day. They fed me the best food. It was great. But I quit." "Did you quit because you didn't like the racing?" asked the preacher. "Oh, no," said the dog. "I loved the feel of the wind in my face." "Well, why did you quit?" asked the preacher. "Was it because you never won a race?" "Oh, no," said the greyhound. "I won race after race. I had lots of trophies, and I made lots of money for my owner." "Well, then why did you quit?" asked the preacher. The dog paused and finally said, "If you really want to know, one day I was running as fast as I could. I was running faster than I had ever run in my whole life. And I caught up with that rabbit, and I discovered that it wasn't even real. All my life, I had been running around and around in circles, trying to catch something that wasn't even real." At his baptism in the River Jordan, as Jesus is coming up out of the waters with John, the heavens are opened, according to what we just heard in Luke's gospel. And the Holy Spirit descended upon him, descended upon Jesus in bodily form, like a dove. And a voice comes from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." This marks the beginning of Jesus' public ministry as a peripatetic rabbi, a journey that would culminate some 3 years later at his crucifixion in Jerusalem. Have you ever wondered if Jesus knew how his earthly journey would end? As he emerged from the muddy waters of the Jordan, did he know then and there what was coming, arrest and trial and crucifixion? And if he did know, what a choice he made. Well, of course Jesus knows what is coming. How could he not? In the Gospels, if you read them carefully, you see that Jesus frequently speaks about his coming death. And just as frequently in the Gospels, Jesus' disciples don't understand what he is saying or they dismiss his words as being too depressing for polite conversation. Jesus, you're scaring the women and children. Stop it. Shortly before his arrest, Jesus says to his followers, "Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour." It is for this reason. Jesus knows the reason for his earthly life. It is to redeem the world and to reconcile sinful men and women to our Creator by his own death and resurrection. That is an overwhelming journey of faith. It's no wonder that Jesus says, "Now my soul is troubled." And when he prays in the garden, it is no wonder that he sweats great drops of blood. And when he prays in the garden, it is no wonder that he says to God, "Please let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." He prays to his Father. That is the essence of the Christian faith, the essence of all our journeys of faith, to be able to say truly and wholeheartedly, "Not my will, but yours, O God, be done. Not my will, but yours be done." Those are the words that we must learn to say. And is that difficult? Yes, extraordinarily. Because we are strong and willful people. And is that overwhelming? Yes, absolutely. Because we are also weak and easily overcome. And is that exciting? Yes, more than we could ever imagine. When life is difficult, when it threatens to overwhelm, we have the promises as the people of God, promises made in baptism for us to hold on to. We have these words spoken so long ago through the prophet Isaiah, God speaking to his people in a different time and in a different place, but words that are just as much for us today. We heard them a few moments ago. "But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." You are mine. Just think about those words for a moment. Think about them. And now try putting your own name in there. Think about putting your own name in there. He who created you, he who formed you, do not fear. I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. That's how God speaks to us. That's how God loves us. God adopts us and makes us partakers of his kingdom, heirs to the resurrection. Paul puts it like this in his letter to the Romans, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." And this is the really important part. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. If we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. If If we listen carefully, we can hear the echoes of God's words spoken at Jesus' own baptism. You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased. And just as God did that day, he pours out the Holy Spirit into our hearts and into our lives, the gift of God's very presence in us on all the days of our journey of faith. God loves us as his children. He says that we are precious in his sight, every bit as precious as little Evelyn is today. Today marks the beginning of a new journey of faith. And it's also a reminder for all the rest of us that we are on the same journey upon which Evelyn is about to embark. She is just starting. The rest of us are all in different places. Some of us have been on the journey for a long time, and others have taken considerable detours. Many of us are not anywhere near where we expected to be. The truth is, no one really knows where your journey of faith will take you in this life. But when we follow Jesus, we know that we are not chasing some fake rabbit around a track. We're following the Son of God, who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Who said, "Come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Who said, "Let the little children come unto me, and forbid them not, for to such belong the kingdom of God." We're following Jesus, who said, "Lo, I am with you always, always." Amen. Let us pray. Eternal God, as we continue our journeys, we know that you are with us. Help us, Lord, to always feel your presence and to know you are near and to listen and to heed and to follow you. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.